tetzave. In next week's parsha, Parshas Kisisa, when Moshe Rabbeinu is pleading on the on behalf of the defense of Am Yisrael after Chida Egel, so he makes a statement, a bold statement. Im ayin mechenin om yisifrecha. If you are not going to save Am Yisrael, so then I do not want to exist either. Zok the Halig of Balaturim in the beginning of this week's parsha, Atta Tetzave, we were talking about it earlier this week, many of us. This is the parsha that part, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened and didn't annihilate all of Am Yisrael, but to an extent, anything at Tzadik is Geyser, is Mekayim, is Niskayim, and therefore, in this week's parsha, Zokta Balaturim, you do not find Moshe Rabbeinu's name. The question is, why this week's parsha? No one explains and gives a reasonable explanation why specifically Tetzaveh. I understand the rationale that the Rebbeinu Shalom said, Moshe Rabbeinu said something, and even though the Rebbeinu Shalom agreed, said that it's part. It has to be partially niskayim, and it's not something that could be totally ignored because it's outside the Gezer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. But why now? Why backwards? Why is it Parshas Tetzave specifically that we're saying that this is where the fulfillment of what Moshe Rabbeinu said and boldly stated and presented to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be b'miktzas, partially niskayim. That's the kasha I'd like to deal with. What's very interesting also is the zman that we find ourselves right now, which on a regular year, on a classic calendar, would be the zman of Purim, Parshas Tetzaveh. Next week we're not going to say Tachnun. Purim Katan is on Tuesday. The Inyan of Purim. And the Inyan of Purim is very connected to Moshe Rabbeinu as well. As we know, the whole Nes of Purim, the whole Chap of Purim, the whole mistake of Haman in Purim, the Gemara Megillah tells us, and Daf Yud Gimel on the base, that Haman was very excited when the lot fell out in the month of Adar, because the month of Adar is the zman that meis Moshe Rabbeinu. That this is an unlucky, a time of misfortune for Am Yisrael, because this is when their leader died. Zokta Gemara, I don't have it in front of me, but Zokta Gemara, the Gemara says, V'loi hikir, and Haman did not realize, Shalorak meis Moshe, ela noilad Moshe. So this is not only a time of misfortune, but it's also the zman, and the actual same day, as it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mashlim, the yamim of tzadikim, to the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born, and Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter, his yahrzeit, full years to the fullest, and therefore, it was actually not a time of misfortune, and ultimately, that's where the salvation emanated from, the fact that the poor fell out on Adar. The Yaris Dvash, which I thought we would have a copy of, but we don't, the Yaris Dvash asks a very simple question. The strange Gemara. I understand that Haman didn't get it, and that's really a schmooze on its own. What didn't Haman get? If Haman was such a knowledgeable person that he was holding in all the yard sites of Am Yisrael, you know what? He just didn't have the birthdays. He only bought one calendar. He didn't buy the calendar with all birthdays. Stam, that's a shmooze on its own. A whole mahalach to discuss what Haman was missing and why he didn't chop that. We'll talk about that another time. But the Yaris Dvash picks up on the wording of the Gemara. Usually, you should go in chronological order. Velo hikir. What lo hikir? Shebizman, Shebizayin Adar, Nolad Moshe, and then Mace Moshe. Not Shebizayin Adar, Mace Moshe, and Nolad Moshe. And to be honest, Rabosai, usually we have to follow what happened last. So maybe it was a fortunate day. But at the end of the day, Rabosai, this is a day that Taka was misfortune because he originally was born. But Lamaisa, Adar was also the time that we lost Moshe Rabbeinu. So we're stuck with a disadvantage. We're stuck with something unfortunate that happened. Why the wording of the Gemara in that? And why in that order? And why, asked the Rionis and Ibishitz in a Sefer Yaris Dvash, why isn't it something unfortunate? Because at the end of the day, the final Makkah B'Patish, the conclusion is, we're stuck without Moshe Rabbeinu. I think Rabosai, in order to understand all these concepts, and the Yisod in Parshas Tetzaveh, we need to really explore the whole Parsha, and Amir Tz Hashem, we can answer all these kashas with one tremendous Yisod. Ibn Ezra, as many of the other Mefarshim, are very bothered with the end of Parshas Tetzaveh. The end of Parshas Tetzaveh, after the Big Day Kahuna, after creating Kedushas Kahuna and Kohanim in this week's Parsha, which is also another dimension and consecration of the Mikdash. It's not enough for you to have a structure, but you have to have people that can serve in that structure, and therefore you not only need Parshas Truma, but you need Parshas Tetzaveh. So if you were to ask me to analyze and to try to describe to you what is the nature of the Tetzaveh are the people and the officials that serve in the Mikdash, the agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shluchei Derachmona, the agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God. And Truma is the objects and the structure and the receptacles and all the items that they use in the process during the service. It was very odd. Anyone who reads this parasha and thinks about it will come to this question. It's not a bomb kasha, it's an obvious question. You finish the whole consecration of the individuals of the Kohanim, of the messengers. And then the Pasuk says, a new parak in the end of Parsha Tetzaveh, the Osisa Mizbeach Mikdar Ktoris Atze Shitim Tase Osa. Ama Arkova Ama Rochbo Ravu Yeva Amasayim Kamosomi Menu Karnosov. Vitzipisa Osa Zov Tohor Es Gago Es Kirosov Saviv Es Karnosov Osisa Lozer Zahov Shavim. And it goes on. I'll read more Psukim. All about what? The Mizbeach Haktoris. The Mizbeach Hazov. What's the obvious question, Rabosa? What's the obvious question? Should be in Parshas Truma. It's out of place. This is one of the items in the Mikdash. It's like the Mizbeach HaChitzon, like the menorah, like the... Why suddenly, after we're consecrating the individuals of the Mikdash, a totally different dimension and aspect of the Mikdash, ask the Ibn Ezra, what is this doing here? It's totally out of place. What's Pshat? Rabosai, there is a fascinating Yisod that I am familiar with in three different sources that's all mechaving to the same pshat, but it's found in the Meshech Chochma from Rav Meir Simcha Midvins, the Baal Or Sameach. It's found in the Maharal Diskin, Rav Shua Leib Diskin, and it's found in the Sefer Aksav V'Kabol. And they all say the following is so. The Mizbeach HaKtoires is different than any other kli in the Mikdash. You see, when it comes to the other kelim in the Mikdash, in order to do that avodah, in order to do the service, you need that kli. You don't have the menorah, you don't have the external mizbeach, the mizbeach hachitzon, you don't have the shochan, don't make the lechem atvanim. You need one to have the other. You have to have the oven, you have to have the ingredients in order to make it. So one of the ingredients, one of the abilities, what enables me to go on in the service is that I have something. You want to have the Aron, you have to make sure that you have the Luchos. You want to have the Luchos, you have to make sure you have the Aron. That we spoke about prior, that's... You need the Kalim for every aspect and to mill the dimension and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yet the Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Nun Testament Beis tells us one halacha that's unique to the Mizbeach HaKtoris. To the Mizbeach Hazov. What's that unique halacha? Does anyone know, Rav Osai? Mizbeach HaKtoris Shenekar Mimkomo. If the Mizbeach HaKtoris, for whatever reason, the inner Mizbeach, is gone, is not apparent, is not around, Maktirin Mimkomo. You can bring the incense, the Ketores, in its place without the Mizbeach itself. We will still serve in on the floor of the Mikdash. We will still serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though the Mizbeach HaKadosh is not there. Therefore comes along the Meshech Chochma and he writes, this is Meduyuk, in a Pasuk. I believe the Pasuk is in Malachim. I don't remember 100%. You look in the Meshech Chochma in this week's Parasha. One of the times that it's referring to the Ketores, the service of the Ketores, it doesn't say Es Mizbach Hashem, because the Mizbeach is not crucial. And as the Torah says, the Gemara says in Zvachim, Bimizbeach, Bikteris, Bakhtirin, Bimkomo, Apobisha, Mizbeach. So you see, the Mizbeach Akteris had a different service, was a different entity, was not Na'akev, was not only there in order because if I can't have this item, so then I can't go on with the service. The Mizbeach Akteris was there to enhance, but not as the same level of all the kalim and the parsha satruma, that if you don't have the kli, if you don't have the vessel, so then that's an inability to serve. No. The Mizbeach HaKetores can represent Kedusha and can endow Kedusha to a place, and even when it's not apparent, when it's not there, it could still allow for that service to continue. And therefore, it's not linked and parallel to all the other kelim in the Mikdash. It's not brought down in Parshas Truma and represented in the way that the other vessels and the other kelim are brought as a part of the Mishkan and the Mikdash. You see from here something tremendous. Talmud Rebbe builds off of this, that there's sometimes a Kedusha, there's sometimes a power, there's sometimes something that's so powerful that even if it's not physically present, the strength and the impact is still there. You find this in another place, in this week's parsha as well, Rabosa. The different avonim that are attributed to all the different 12 shvatim. It was an even that there's a lot to talk about. This even, which was called the even Yashva, that was one of the avonim that was on the chest and the choshen, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. And every Evan was attributed to a different Shevet. The Evan of Yashva was given to Shevet Binyamin. The Rabbeinu Bechai writes in this week's parasha, you look up the Rabbeinu Bechai where it goes through in great detail all the different Avonim, why the colors and the names were given to each Shevet, Ayin Sham, and the Rabbeinu Bechai in this week's parasha. But what he says when it comes to Shevet Binyamin, he says, break down this words of Yashva. If I do this and I make it into two words, it says Yesh Peh. There is a mouth. Comes along the Rabbeinu Bechai, and the Rabbeinu Bechai explains the reason why we say Yesh Peh, the Evan of Yesh Peh. He has a mouth when it comes to Shevet Binyamin, is because Binyamin was not involved in the chait of Mechiras Yosef. Binyamin was not involved in all the other sins that his brothers did, and he knew about it, and he had the ability to communicate it, to divulge it to his father, and for whatever reason, we'll talk about it another time in Sefer Bereishis, whether or not there was a shvuah, there was a nether, he didn't spill the beans, he didn't say it. He had the opportunity to say it, and he didn't enunciate it, he didn't say it. Ask the Heilige Talmud Rebbe. So the Binyamin, by definition, was different, and that even though he had the capability, he did not express it. So if anything, I would call this Evan what? Ein Peh. Not Yesh Peh. I would call it the Evan of info, not yoshva. Why is it that this is representative of yesh peh? The Rabbi of Achaia makes no sense. Comes along Rabbi Sanatol Rebbe, and he says something so powerful, so beautiful, so yisodistic that for each and every one of you to hear. The bialus and ownership on your peh, ownership in this world, is totally misunderstood. If you want to know whether or not you own your lips, whether or not you own your mouth, whether or not you control your body, it's not whether or not I'm in your face and I'm expressing and I'm divulging and I'm telling you everything. I have ownership on my body and on my secrets of my life because I do not divulge it to you. Because I'm not in your face. Unfortunately, in the society that we live in the generation that we are currently under, we translate bialus and ownership to be in your face. To always be showing you. To always wanting to impress you. To always not hide anything. And therefore, what I can express, what I can show, what I can demonstrate, that is representative of what I can do and what I can't do. But that's not true bialus. So the Rebbe explains beautifully the following mashal. If this clock is mine, and I put it up there, so I'm not expressing any personal bialus once it's up there. Zook and I can enjoy from this clock equally. What is my real expression of my personal bialus above and beyond everyone else? When I take that clock off and I take it home and I restrict other people from using it. And I show that this is only mine and no one else can enjoy it. That is a true expression of bialus. If I would have to explain this in Lamdusha terms, the Rashba explains by Isuri Hanah, even things that are prohibited from getting pleasure from, the Rashba explains, there's a major machlokes Rishonim, but many Rishonim hold, you're a bialim on Isuri Hanah. Because bialus and ownership and controlling something is not necessarily always accessing, always using, but also controlling yourself from it. There's a concept called a negative relationship. The fact that I'm not using it, the fact that I'm not putting it forward, the fact that I'm not always divulging everything. So if you want to know and you want to demonstrate, says the Rabbeinu B'chai, someone who really owns his mouth, someone who really is a person that controls his mouth, the litmus test is not how he expresses, how he divulges, how he rambles, how he presents everything to the other person, but on the contrary. You want to know yesh peh? You want to know who really has a mouth? Who really owns his mouth? Is a person who didn't divulge. It's a person who can control his mouth. It's a person who limited his mouth. It's a person who can have personal bias and put that clock away and restrict other people from that information and from that mouth. You see, Parshas Tetzaveh is telling us something fascinating throughout the thread of the Parsha, the common denominator, is that you can be special. You can be unique. You can be so powerful and own so much and accomplished. And it's mikoach ha-heder. It's from the fact that it's not apparent. It's from the fact that it's not around. It's from the fact that it's not in your face and showing off and strutting its stuff all over you to the point that you get sick and tired of it. That's impressive. That is the most pet that I've seen. Person who limits himself. The person who, although there's a big hack, and I want to say something impressive in that hack, and I want to say, you know, get involved in the vulgar speech, or everyone's ripping on a certain individual, and I got to pounce on that, because I got to be one of the guys. You don't have a pet. Ein lecha pet. You don't own your pet. Those people on that chevra, and that group, owns your pet. You only had to do that and bring yourself down to this level because they control the way you speak. In my dress, in what I wear, why do I wear what I wear? Because I want to impress you? Because I need to show it to you? Or because it expresses who I am, my inner being? It's my inner being that's what I wear and the way I live my life. I'm not just trying to be accepted by others. I do things because I own myself. And even if it's not apparent, and even if it's not in front of you and all over, that's not an expression of lack of bialis. That's an expression of extreme bias. The fact that you really own yourself. You can control yourself. You can limit yourself. You are not bound and driven by the exterior and the externals and the other modes of society. I decide what I'm going to do. I decide the avenue that I'm going to take. I decide the roads that I'm going to drive down. Not you guys. And therefore, sometimes, if I don't go the normal mahalach, if I don't follow the trends, if I don't follow the rest of society, that is not lack of bialis. That's not because I can't afford it. Fakert. It's because I'm such a bialin that I could swim against the tide, that I could do my own thing. The fact that I'm not doing that, the fact that I'm not, that it's not apparent, that it's not seen, is the biggest expression of the fact that I am who I am. And I am a bialis. Mizbeach HaKtoires was unique in the fact that you could be makter the Ktoires. You can go through the service even though the Mizbeach is not apparent. It's different than every Kli. It's so powerful, the Mizbeach HaKtoires, that once it's consecrated, once it exists there at the first time and endows Kedusha in the Mokom HaMikdosh, now it is so impressive that even when the Mizbeach HaKtoires is not around, is betoich haheder, is not seen, its impact is still there, Rabbi Yisai. That is the theme of Parshas Tetzaveh. That is the Rebbe of Achaye about the Yesh Peh. That is a bialis, that is an extreme apparency without being apparent. Rabbi Yisai. Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, Mamish just punked, happened to have seen this Gemara yesterday in my Limud. Chazal explained that the Nes of Purim of Esther is comparable, like the Pasuk in Tehillim says, L'matzeach Ayelas HaShachar, something about the morning. Just like the morning is the end of the night, and breaks into the dawn, says the Gemara in Yuma, so too the Nes of Megillah of Purim, of Megillah's Esther, right? Ma'atzeh b'ayelos ha'shachar, that was the mizmor that Esther davened when she was stuck, and she davened to the Rabbeinu Shalom. We'll talk about that also another time, why she specifically davened this, but therefore Chazal learned from her tefillah that there's a link between Ayelas HaShachar, the break of dawn, and the Nes of Purim. Chazal tell us that just like the break of dawn is the end of Laila, so too, Nes of Purim is the end of the Zman of the Nisan. There were Nisan Gluyim from Yetzias Mitzrayim until the Nes of Purim, and then this is the end of the Nes of Purim, of the Zman of the Nisan. The Bnei Yisachar and the Yaris Dvash, Rabbi Yonos and Eibershitz, both ask the same fundamental question. This Gemara makes no sense. If you're really drawing a parallel between the Nes of Purim and Ayelas HaShachar, so the Nimshel doesn't make sense. Dawn is the end of the Zman of night of darkness. And now you break dawn, and now it gets brighter and brighter with daylight. Whereas when it comes to the Nes of Purim, what are you saying, asked Rabbeinu and Eibershitz? You're saying there were Nisim gluim from Yetzias Mitzrayim up until now, and now the Nisim have stopped. So that's not similar to daylight. That's similar to the last break of dawn, and then daylight is no longer, because there are no more Nisim continuing. So what is your parallel between Ayelas HaShachar, between the dawn of the breaking of dawn, to the Zman of Nisim stopping? The Gemara doesn't make any sense. And Rabbi Yonos and Eibershitz, I'm sorry I don't have it, we were supposed to read it inside in the Yaris Dvash, Yonos and Eibershitz says something fascinating. He says, no, you're missing the boat, we have a misconception. See, we go through life, we read the parshios of
the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim of Kriyas Yamsuf, and we think that that's an ideal. We think that that's the most necessary, and that's apparent in the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand, and that's when we know He's with us. But Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz and the Bnei Sosra say it's pumfakert. It's the exact opposite. We came from a situation of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and our only way to exist and our only way to get back and build up to be a nation is if we see things that are against the teva, the nature of the world, lemala min ha-teva, yotzi min ha-klal. And therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam had to suspend the regular rules of nature in order for us to see and recognize Yad Hashem. But you know what? It wasn't ideal. It wasn't the perfect world. Really, the perfect world is to be able to wake up every day at the break of dawn and to now see without suspending nature and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a daily basis.
When did we achieve that level that now on a natural basis, in a tematical way, on a daily basis, hour by hour, we could see Yad Hashem without Nisim Gluyim, without the laws of Teva being suspended? That was only from the Nes of Purim and on.
And therefore, says the Yarisvash, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, the parallel in the Gemara is beautiful and makes so much sense. It's true. As daybreak comes, things become brighter and brighter and fresher and more recognizable and more geschmack. And it's not as scary. And we're on the right path in the daytime. And that's exactly the parallel to the Nes of Purim.
L'matzeach Ayelus HaShachar, specifically Ayelus HaShachar, the Nes of Purim, was the zman of that we didn't have to stay in the darkness. In the darkness, Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz writes that you need some direction, you need a candle, you need a flashlight, because it's so dark and you can't succeed and you're going to fall if the lights are not there and no one's turning on the flashlight and directing you, and therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam was required to suspend nature and therefore turn on the lights throughout from Yetzias Mitzrayim until when? Until daybreak. Until Ayelus HaShachar, until the Nes of Purim.
And Klal Yisrael reached a certain level. Kimu v'kiblu. They were now able to step up and recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore it was just daytime. They didn't need the external light, the flashlight, the candle to light up the darkness. Because you know why we reached a level? That it wasn't dark anymore. And light was all around. And the natural course of events, we were able to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it was day building after daybreak.
So the Sof HaNisim and the fact that Nes of Purim was the end of the Nisim of Teva, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz and the Bnei Yisroel, is representative of daybreak that now turns into day.
That we don't need these Nisim Gluyim, we don't need these crutches. And we can connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam on a daily basis, on a natural basis, and see the Yad Hashem without these crutches and without these flashlights and candles that are in a time of darkness. It's not dark anymore. We became light. We created our days from darkness and transformed them to day. That's the Gemara Megillah. That's the Nes of Purim.
That's recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the achievement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence,
even though it's not apparent and it's not in your face. That is Parshas Tetzaveh. Not only your bilus, not only your koach and energy and your power is apparent when you limit yourself and when you restrict and when you're not seen or when the Mizbeach is not around or when you don't express, when you use the Evan of Yesh Peh because you don't speak, but in the Nes of Purim itself. The Nes of Purim itself is the Zman that we realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the heder, when it's missing, when it's not as apparent. And that is the greatest achievement of Purim. It's like switching from night into day. But because we don't need it to be seen in a miraculous way.
We know it's there,
even though it's not in your face and strutting its stuff right in front of you. We know it's powerful, even though it's not all over and trying to be in your face and showing off in there. No, it's there because it's there. It's there because that's what it is. It's there because that's my life. It's there because I live in daylight and I don't live in darkness. And I don't need the flashlight, I don't need the light to be in my face in order to see it. It's there because it's my essence. It's there because I know it conceptually. I know it and I believe it. And that's where it's most apparent. So if you want to know, where's the Rabbeinu Shel Olam stronger? At Kriyas Yam Sof or in a day like today? After the Nes of Purim, we realized in a day like today, because we're linked to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without him having to go against Teva to show himself, and even though he's not out there, he's not apparent, even though the Mizbeach is not there, it's still all powerful. It still has that impact. It still has the effect on the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. It still is a bilus on your mouth, even though you're not speaking and using your mouth. Rabbi say, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's who Moshe Rabbeinu was. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, in another piece, but I think it fits beautifully with the mahalach that we're building. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz writes, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu first was mace. But Moshe Rabbeinu from his misa was noilot. Moshe Rabbeinu is existing in this world, although he's not leading, although he's not here with his staff and telling us where to go and what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu is here, although he's not a parent. Moshe Rabbeinu might have physically died, Haman, but you don't realize Moshe Rabbeinu's Misa is Moshe Rabbeinu's Leida. Moshe Rabbeinu was reborn through the Sugyas and Torah and the Mahalach that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us for generations to come, to follow non-stop in thousands of years since Moshe Rabbeinu physically existed. Moshe Rabbeinu Meis Moshe, on the contrary, Haman, you're living in a world of fashion. You're living in a world of being a parent is the only source of existence. Of having Nisim Gluyim is the only source of existence. That's not true. Moshe Rabbeinu was Meis, but in Yiddishkeit, that can create a Leida. That can create a Leida. Moshe Rabbeinu's impact, Moshe Rabbeinu's effect on Klal Yisrael does not stop from his physical death, does not stop when he's not physically around, and the Raya Brura, and the proof positive to this Yisod Rabosai Haman, is just open a Parshas Tetzaveh. The Yisod of Parshas Tetzaveh, the Mizbeach HaKtoiris, having an effect and being able to be Mekayim and fulfilling the Avodah, even though the Mizbeach is not there. It doesn't fit with the Klolim of the regular Beis HaMikdash. That's why it's in Parshas Tetzaveh. The Evan of Yeshpo, the Evan of Binyamin. Yes. Because just because something is not in your face, just because someone is not doing something and acting in the way that you think and you're not... Don't be so sure. Let me get you, Rabosai, some of the top guys in the Beis Medrash are the quietest guys. Because they're so secure, they're so good at their learning, but they're so confident, they don't need to walk over to impress you. They don't need to do anything like that. Some of the best ball players are not the guys that are in your face. Usually those guys that are in your face and trash talking have to compensate. They're not as good. And they have a little bit of an insecurity. And that's why they're in your face. Those are the same exists in all aspects of our lives, in anything we own and we control. Real bilus and success is not doing it for others, not doing it to be make a parent, and for recognition. Real bilus control and success is judged by real bilus control and success. Even if it's limited, even if I control it to the extent that I'm not going to bring it out, that I have the ability to decide when yes and when not. And the fact that I decide to limit it shows me that I fully control, because I'm not even going to succumb to the pressures of the external world to now convince me where to bring it out and when to bring it out. That's the ultimate control. The ability to limit,
the ability to make something recognizable and existing, even though it's not apparent, does not mean that it doesn't exist and that it's not apparent. And that's why we read this parsha, Zayin Adar. And that's why the Zman that Moshe Rabbeinu is not apparent is specifically in Parshas Tetzaveh. Because don't fall to the mistake. Don't slip up to the mistake of Haman that you have to live your life and you have to decide everything in this world of what's powerful, what is control, what is success is only if you're a billionaire and you can say, nibble peh on a campaign, in a presidential campaign. Oh, that's a guy who has control. Fakeret. Absolutely fakeret. It's the person who doesn't need that, doesn't need the recognition, doesn't have all the insecurities, doesn't have to be in your face, doesn't have to impress, who can exist even though it's not apparent and it's not recognizable. That is Moshe Rabbeinu. Haman Moshe Rabbeinu might have physically died. He might not be physically apparent, but neither is the Mizbeach HaKairos, neither is Binyamin's pet, and neither is the Yisod Parshas Tetzaveh. And Haman, you need to recognize that the Zman of Purim starts a new phase in Am Yisrael, that we will have the unbelievable light of daybreak without the constant Nisim Gluyim and being in our face and presenting, and we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there mitoich ha-hester, mitoich ha-heder, from the fact that he's not apparent and in your face. And that's a new level. And Moshe Rabbeinu also is with us through the Torah Kedusha, through the sugyas that we learn, through the Torah and mitzvahs that we keep in every generation. Lomes, and he died in Parshas Tetzaveh in the Zman HaHeder, the Zman of controlling, the Zman of taking away the apparency. And that's why this is the Parsha that the Baal HaTurim chooses and says that Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in, because it showed his bailus and his leadership and his influence on Am Yisrael even when he wasn't physically around. Rabosai.